This is week two of our fall sermon series, I Love My Church. We're settling back into our fall routines for work and for school, and there are more opportunities for us as Epworth to be together to not only celebrate where we are as a Christian community, but also to dream and to talk about what we can do in the days and months and years ahead, with the guidance of our Creator, our Redeemer, and our Sustainer. Let us pray. Lord, we come before you with open hearts, open minds, and open hands. As a community, may we hear your voice, may we feel you tug at our hearts, and may we be moved to use the gifts you have given us to build your kingdom here on earth. Amen. It is strange, or perhaps not, that this letter to the Hebrews would be part of this particular sermon series. And it's going to seem a little bit contradictory to talk about love in community when Paul's letter is directed at a church in crisis. But maybe this is the perfect letter, the perfect scripture for times such as these. It shows us that since the very beginning of the church, at times, it has struggled to find its footing. But the letter also shows us that the church is not without hope because it is a community united in Christ. Paul is never not writing to a church or congregation that's struggling on some level with its newfound direction. For example, the church at Corinth was fighting an uphill battle against false prophets and people who wanted to follow a charismatic speaker rather than the teachings of Christ. The audience of this letter is not an audience of people in need of conversion or learning about Christ for the first time. They're already believers. But they have stalled in their growth, and they've stalled in their faith. Like any good teacher or coach, Paul works to get them back on track with a combination of encouragement and tough love. He draws the line from their past to their present, between the old covenant of Moses and the new covenant of the sacrifice in Jesus Christ. That sacrifice assures that their sins and ours are cleansed and there is forgiveness. Under Mosaic law, one person, the high priest of the temple, entered the holy place once a year on the Day of Atonement to offer sacrifice for the cleansing of the nation. The sacrifice of Jesus Christ assures cleansing and healing for all. In the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 27, verse 51, we're told that at the moment of Jesus' death on the cross, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook and the rocks split. The temple curtain was torn in two. Nothing was hidden anymore. No longer a place of exclusivity, but inclusivity. Because of Christ's sacrifice, we are all cleansed and we are all free to enter the sanctuary by the blood of Jesus. The Hebrews and we are called to approach with a true heart in full assurance of faith. We are assured that Christ is faithful to us. We struggle and we're imperfect, but it's okay, because we are loved. In spite of the stumbles and the wavering and the spiritual fatigue, the letter encourages the church to not give up. Christ's sacrifice was too great to do anything less than to honor him fully and live into their calling as followers. Throughout the letter to the Hebrews, Paul recognizes the church's struggles and exhorts and encourages them to persevere. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who has promised is faithful. Let us hold fast to our hope in the promise of everlasting life, knowing that Christ will come as promised and we will be united with him. The most specific thing that Paul encourages is that this congregation work together. In verses 24 and 25, he says, "Consider how to provoke one another to love and good deeds, not neglecting to meet, but encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." I love that word, provoke. It's like Paul's issuing a dare. I triple dog dare you to outdo each other with good deeds. But he is telling them to not give up. In the scripture, Paul references failing to meet. Many early Christians faced persecution and abuse and threats. They still do today. Fear of being found out prevented many from meeting and breaking bread together. But because of Christ's sacrifice, throwing wide open the door of the holy place and Christ being faithful to them, Paul prods them to gather for worship. What obstacles are you facing? Are you spiritually tired? Not sure how you feel or what to believe? Are you going through a tough time? You're not going to solve it on your own. You need each other. You need to lean into God during your trials, and you need to lean on each other. You share the same love of Jesus Christ. You're all human beings who have been through similar challenges and struggles. What better way to strengthen and grow the church? It's easy to pull away from God in times of struggle. It's easy to pull away from other people in times of struggle. We hear news stories about how there's a growing segment of the population who's either never been to church or they stopped attending for various reasons. There are more demands on our time every day of the week. And it's a familiar refrain for someone to say they don't agree with an issue within the church in general, or they become upset over an isolated event and they leave. Epworth's not immune to any of this. And we, as a local church, have weathered a number of storms over the years. And you know what? We're still here. By God's grace and faithfulness, we are still here because we love one another. We're still here. We can get distracted by one momentary difficulty or an extended hardship. So many of those situations are out of our control. A church is not a place where everything is perfect, and God knows a church is not a place for perfect people. If we were all perfect and everything was peachy, we wouldn't need God's grace and each other's support. Allowing ourselves to be distracted by one issue or one stressor or one hardship or one more obligation prevents us from experiencing the love of a church family. At Epworth, love manifests itself in so many visible ways. It's going to be hard to mention them all. When the healing service team prays for someone who has never set foot in a church before. When our teachers and adult leaders bring the children and youth of Epworth closer to Christ through fun and through study. When a Wesley group rallies around a participant who has suffered a tragic loss. When a new individual or couple or family feels welcomed and included within minutes of walking in the door. Love manifests itself at Epworth outside of normal business hours, too. When our parish visitor, Trina Hooper, spends extra time helping members transition to a new independent living community and visits homebound members of our congregation. when our Stephen ministers provide confidential, one-on-one care through listening and prayer to someone who is walking through a very dark valley, when there is a pastor available in a crisis at 3 o'clock in the morning. Love is made visible in the effort that goes into coordinating the Hawkins STEM School Partnership, Red Cross blood drives, health fairs, mission trips to Good Works, and the UMW Harvest Bazaar, which benefits local outreach. Love is at work when the staff crack each other up in a meeting, when someone remembers that Pike Place is your favorite Starbucks brew, and when the ladies who plan the funeral luncheons leave flowers on everybody's desks. Love happens in visible ways in our church community through the gifts of presence and prayer, through the gifts of cooking and construction, through the gifts of teaching and preaching, through the gifts of administration and stewardship. The gift of your time is no less valuable in the kingdom than your tithes and offerings, and your prayerful, thoughtful giving makes everything possible within the walls of the church and in the community beyond the walls. Epworth is a family of believers. Each of us has different gifts, different experiences, different stories. What you have to offer just by being here in this church at this time could be the game changer for the person sitting in the pew across the aisle from you. Think about the stories that we've heard just in the last 2 weeks. Alan Baker last week, Terry Hogan today. There are going to be more stories to come, and I know every single person in every single pew has their own story. Don't be afraid to share it. There's someone who needs it. Being in worship together in this sacred space gives the Holy Spirit room to do amazing things. By being in community, your life can be changed, or you can be the one who changes a life. Today, we have a great opportunity to spend extra time mingling in the lobby and getting to know one another. Think about this. If you meet one new person on a Sunday between now and the end of the year, assuming you're here every Sunday, you could meet 16 new people. That's just between now and the end of the year. One new person on a Sunday, if you're here every week, 52 in a year. That doesn't include Easter and Christmas. What if you are the life changer for one of those people? What if your life is changed by that connection? Within the walls of this church, I went from a prodigal to a pastor because people listened to the Holy Spirit and provoked me just a little. So let us approach with a true heart. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope. Let us consider how to triple dog dare each other to works of love and good deeds. This is us. We are Epworth Toledo, and I love my church.